taking a second here. I'm just trying to make sure in the minutes I have between talking, I get all the fishing report stuff posted up. We post Captain Bobby's report up on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on Facebook. So, you know, there's the FM Talk 106.5 Facebook page where you get information about news stories are happening or contests like the Big Green Deal or whatever else we have going on, or remote broadcasts like we're doing today in Foley at Gulf Coast Tools, those things. But then our outdoors programming has its own Facebook page, and it's just FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on Facebook. So I'd love for you to go there. We post the podcast for Captain Bobby's report, plus the show Mike Ward and I do on Saturday, all that on there. You can grab the podcast through there. Or if you just go to my Twitter feed, at FM Talk 106.5, you'll get information there. Or, best yet, at FM Talk Pods.
Right.
Yeah, tell folks, I mean, that's another follow that people need to do
on Twitter. Yes, so I would say that's the latest Twitter account added to the FM Talk 106.5 family, and it is FM Talk 106.5 Pods, which you might have figured out, Pods, short for podcasts.
You kids in your shorthand.
Yeah. So when we upload podcasts to our page, that automatically goes through the FM Talk 106.5 Pods page. So just click through there if you miss any hours or you want to go back and listen to something like the fishing report. You can find it there, and if you go ahead and follow that Twitter account, then it's delivered right there to your page.
That's right. So it's a push. Like in the internet world, there's pull and push, right? And so we're pushing. So if you're already signed up, you're going to have to not go find if there's a new podcast. We're going to tell you, here's a new podcast.
Right. And, you know, we don't bring this up very often, but we're on so many different podcast pages, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn. We would really appreciate your ratings and reviews. Just click.
That makes a difference, y'all.
Whether it's stars or thumbs up or whatever it might be, we do appreciate that here.
Just go the whole way over to the right. Whatever the icon, whatever the emoji is, just go to the far right there. Give us as many stars, smiley faces, thumbs up, whatever's as possible.
We'll take them all.
All right, please. So, yeah, do that. That helps us out and keeps us doing the 40-some-odd, well, more than 40 hours a week of podcasts that we put up, which, big thank you to y'all, have been very, very successful. And, yeah, so I just got the link put up on my Twitter feed as well for the fishing report, because if I don't get it done within, like, 15 minutes, it's wild the way Twitter is. Not only people here along the Gulf Coast, but there's fishing show aggregators through the country and internationally. And if it doesn't go up, like, I start getting DMs from people like, where's your report? I'm like, I also do a radio show at the same time. I'm not just a podcaster. They're like, well, it's been 7 minutes. Well, it's up now, so y'all can check it out. All right, another reminder, too. Today, Gulf Coast Tools in Foley, Midday Mobile on the road. So I have not been to, with the show, I've not been to Foley or that area south of there for a while. So it's always good to get to see everybody who can just come by. You know, there's different places we do live shows, and it seems like, you know, when we get within a couple miles of where you work, what you're doing at lunch or something like that, you get a chance to come by. So I get to see different faces, you know, when we go to different areas in Mobile and Baldwin County. So I always look forward to that. And it's been a while for Foley. So y'all come see us today at Gulf Coast Tools.
Yeah.
That starts at, well, probably get there 11 o'clock hour sometime, but of course the show starts up at noon. All right. A couple things on the list here I want to get into. And then we have Rob Holbert coming up at 8:30. I didn't even get a chance when I talked about that plastics in the food story. I didn't even get to the Cheerios now showing traces of glyphosate in it.
Really?
Roundup, yeah.
The Roundup stuff.
Remember I told y'all this was going to be a big deal 2 years ago? This is the start of it. If they start showing that it's in foods, you know, then where do they go from there? I mean, this is, and I look at this as a person who uses Roundup or other glyphosates, because we all know that you can get some others that are the same thing, but less. I get the generic. I get the Dr. Thunder of the Roundup world, because when you're spraying ag stuff and doing a lot, I mean, it's expensive.
Yeah, is it called like Roll Up or something like that?
You know, it's funny there.
Gather.
The Roundup that you use for aquatic vegetation is called Rodeo.
Really?
Rodeo. Well, I've never understood that one, but that was the name for it. So that's one of the stories. Also, a couple things here. This college entrance exam, because I want to talk about the president, what he had to say about getting dirt on an opponent in a second. I know there's a lot of discussion nationally on that. But first, the college entrance exam story that just ran, and they're talking about the sailing coach at Stanford. He's now been found guilty. He became the first defendant in a nationwide scandal to be sentenced. Okay. This guy, John Vandermoor, sentenced in Boston federal court to 6 months of home detention and 2 years of supervised release over this college entrance exam scam going on. So the arrest, let me go down here further in the ABC News story. So today he's sentenced. And the first part of this story rolled out, because I was wondering, I said, when did they make the first arrest?
Yeah, because that seems fast, right?
On March 13th, federal prosecutors announced 50 people, including 33 wealthy parents, were charged in the largest college cheating scam ever prosecuted by the U.S. Department of Justice. March 13th, they announce the arrests.
Right.
Today, June 13th. You have a sentencing. We have people, let me point out, and I know this is federal and this is not state. We have cases where people have loved ones murdered, raped, assaulted, and those cases go on and on and on.
Forever.
And I understand nuance of appeals, and this guy probably didn't appeal. I get those things. But you can get it done quickly, at least with federal resources. They make their arrest back in March, and the guy's sentenced today.
3 months. Exactly. 3 months.
Yeah. I mean, does that... And if I'm looking, if I'm... And I don't know what the Federal Register looked like on the cases, but I'm going to... I'm sorry. If there's a college cheating scam arrest, I'm gonna move the murderers and the rapist trials and all that stuff up further, and I'm going to say, we're going to get to you.
Yeah.
We're going to get to you, but I don't think you're going to flee the country. I don't think you're going to... You're going to take a while. It may be 2 years before you see a courtroom on this. We're going to get the violent people sentenced and sent to prison, and then we'll get around to your college cheating scam.
Yeah, on the triage list of cases that need to be taken care of,
why is this
college yeah. you know, fraud doesn't seem like it'd be very high on the list. But two things to me. First, this is such a high-profile news story that they saw that, and they're like, well, we want to keep this in the news while we can and get it taken care of. And second, I think there was a lot of cooperation involved. I think all those fancy pants rich people that paid to have their kids, I think they flipped on this guy the minute that the police showed up,
sure.
and that probably helped move this along.
They're facilitating it, but at the same time, if you're what is going to see a courtroom, you can have the investigation go and have them admit and all these things, and I don't know. Once again, I'm not going to sit here and say I know what was in line in front or behind these cases in the Federal Register, but I would be frustrated to think they would move one up if there was a viable murder-rape case, and I know feds don't do, that's not federal law, but there are bad people that have federal charges. You seem like they would move those up further than you would this college cheating. I mean, they do. It's like when they went after Volkswagen for the emissions thing. Because they dared lie to the federal government on their emission thing, they were moved front of the whole Federal Register because they wanted to make a point on the emissions issue. I don't know, it stood out to me. All right.
3 months, that's crazy.
It is. I mean, I wish it was all 3 months. I don't want it to take longer. What I'm saying, though, is if you can get around, you know, federal versus state, you also don't, and be fair, you know, sometimes people say, oh, they could do that. Well, that's federal, and state and local is a different thing. But on the Federal Registry, are there cases where there's bad people that will have years and years and years before they get sentenced? And here, these people, not that they're people are good in this college cheating scandal, but you know, they weren't shooting anybody.
Right.
Okay.
And I just think it's for a charge like this, you know, 2 years of supervised probation, it's not like he was out there selling drugs or driving drunk. I mean, he was defrauding, in a way, these universities by getting these people in as athletes when they didn't really
deserve. He's defrauding the school that employed him.
Right. But, I mean, what's the supervision for him like? He's probably just going to keep doing what he was normally
sailing.
Doing.
But he'll have to sail like in a Sunfish or an AMF or something like that. He's not going to be able to have people go sailing with him. He'll have to sail alone. And they're not going to give him a dagger board, so he's going to be constantly flipping over. That's going to be his punishment. Also, the big story nationally, of course, every day it's a new story about President Trump. This one from the AP says President Donald Trump says that if a foreign power offered dirt on his 2020 opponent, he'd be open to accepting it, and he'd have no obligation to call the FBI. So when we come back from the break, we'll give you some of that audio. The president was talking to Stephanopoulos about this and get your reactions as well.
And the president tweeting more about that recently, within the last 15 minutes.
You don't say. He's tweeting, huh?
He's tweeting about it. So I'll read you those tweets when we get back to you.
President, he's tweeting?
Yeah, believe it or not. He's on Twitter this morning.
Go figure. Right, 821 FM Talk 106.5. Gorgeous out there. Most folks in the 60s as it gets started this morning. Mount Vernon, the icebox of Mobile County, 59 this morning. High today just in the 80s. Get more from Dr. Bill coming up in a second. This segment of the show brought to you by Lightstream. Looking for a way to save extra money this summer? Well, why not start by paying less interest on your credit card balances when you refinance with a credit card consolidation loan from the folks over at Lightstream? It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with AutoPay. Think about this. The national average credit card interest rate, 19% APR. Absolutely no fees, and you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. And here's how it works. Lightstream believes that folks with good credit, this is why we've worked on good credit our whole lives, right, deserve a better loan experience, better interest rates, and that's exactly what they deliver. And for y'all, you can apply now and get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get the discount, though, is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan. Their website, lightstream.com/Sullivan, S-U-L-L-I-V as in Victor, A-N. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, and we'll grab some calls, too, at 343-0106. I do want to play a couple clips here. As the president was talking about, well, what we mentioned going into the break there, talking with Stephanopoulos, and he was talking about if a scenario presented itself where dirt was given, somebody said, hey, I got dirt on one of your opponents for 2020, would you take it? Does this not exactly go back to the discussion we had about the WikiLeaks stuff and during the 2016 election? Here, the president first reacting, saying he thinks he'd take that information.
If somebody called from a country, Norway, we have information on your opponent. Oh, I think I'd want to hear it.
You want that kind of interference in our elections?
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it.
Okay. It goes on to say about the FBI director saying, well, you couldn't do that.
You don't call the FBI. You throw somebody out of your office. You do whatever
Al Gore got a stolen briefing book. He called the FBI.
Well, that's different. A stolen briefing book. This isn't a stolen. This is somebody that said, we have information on your opponent. Oh, let me call the FBI. Give me a break. Life doesn't work that way.
The FBI director says that's what should happen.
The FBI director is wrong.
Okay. So the president, I think this is one of these situations where President Trump is saying what all, well, I can't speak for all, that's not fair, what many politicians would do, but they would never say it, where President Trump is just saying it. If you had, this goes back to the WikiLeaks stuff, it really does, and the vibe, and I remember talking about then, if you got information, okay, the idea would be, well, it's not good, I think Stephanopoulos said, well, it's, you know, not good for our country or something like that. Is it or isn't it? Because if you're running for office, okay, you're running for office, you have, number one, everybody who runs for office like that probably has a pretty big ego, but you think your ideas, this applies to, you know, Democrats and liberals too, or if you think, if you're running for office, you think your ideas, you being in that elected position, whatever it is, the White House on down to dog catcher, you think your abilities there are going to do the best thing for the constituency, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're running. So if you believe that your vision for the country is the best vision for the country, then you got to agree with the president. Because if somebody brings you dirt, I'm not talking about the having a foreign government involve themselves, but if they say, hey, your opponent is a such and such and such and such, here's the photos of them doing the thing, and you know that gets you over the finish line and win, then by the fact that you're running for the office, why Stephanopoulos and those at the highest ivory towers of thought in New York, Los Angeles, and Washington can't figure this out, and some hayseed from the Gulf Coast sees it this way, I don't know. But if your job is to win, you're running because you winning is the best thing for the country, you believe that, then why would you not take the information? Why would you let somebody else who you don't think is the best vision for the country win because you didn't take this information, you turned it over to the FBI?
Well, you know, in the perfect world, we wouldn't have any interference in the elections. Everything would be on the up and up, and everybody would
but
be
oppositional
playing by
research,
the rules.
Oppositional research is a part of the economy, man.
Right.
They're, in, from Democrats to Republicans, independents to libertarians, if somebody's running for office, they're having some group do oppo research on their opponent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is a thing. That is a I mean, that, look no further. I mean, go look at the racist run right now. By the way, coming up today, Tommy Tuberville and Bradley Byrne, both on the Midday Show, talk about their run for Senate 2020. There'll be there's oppo research being done on those men right now by other candidates.
I think the thing to be worried about, though, would be, you know, the Oya one. If some country digs deep and finds some...
That's a different thing, right?
Well, would the president owe so-and-so, whether it's Russia or China or England, if the Queen says, hey, come here, Donald, and tells him that she knows something about Elizabeth Warren that he doesn't, would he say, all right, I owe you one, and then the United States maybe has to do something for Russia or China?
This is a different thing. So if you have a quid pro quo, and at that point you have a situation where you're now not making decisions best for the country, but And the idea of telling the FBI that it exists, that I'm fine with that too, but saying you wouldn't use it, come on, that's opposite. That is, once again, I don't like the idea of foreign interference. The president picked Norway to try to make a vanilla on that. But if the information is true, now you got to make sure the information is true. If you dare touch this is plutonium, right? Political plutonium. And I think a lot of times they don't pay attention to if it's true. They don't care. Look at some of the things that have been alleged against the president, you know. And hey, look at the things that were alleged against Barack Obama and Bush, and that didn't, ended up, they still stay as part of the narrative, but they were debunked several times. You got to make sure the information is true. And if it's true, and it helps you win the election, and you believe that you winning is the best thing for the country, then when Stephanopoulos asserts that it's bad for the country to do this, I would say that is contrary to what would be in the mind of anybody from any party and any political persuasion who's running for office.
Yeah, if China emailed Elizabeth Warren or something like that and said, hey, we've got something on Trump that will nail him it is something on Trump that will for sure end his presidency. You're lying or you're ignorant if you don't think Elizabeth Warren would take them up on that offer and use that. Now, I can't say that for all of the opponents of the president coming up for this election, but most of them, I would imagine, will take any dirt they could
right
on Trump if it was offered.
Look at the dossier, look at Fusion GPS and all the stuff and what Hillary's campaign, you know, is alleged to be. But they're not the only ones. If this happens at state level, I mean, I watch it, y'all. There'll be so much opposition research happening or has already happened in Senate 2020 in Alabama, and it would be in Maine, it would be in California, it would be in Nevada, because you're trying to win.
Do you think that Stephanopoulos kind of baited him in this answer? Because the AP, they're reporting that it was just a month ago that the president said he would not use information stolen, in those words, by foreign adversaries, and I think that's what you mentioned earlier, that he would not use that for his re-election campaign. But when Stephanopoulos brings up the FBI, and maybe I'm ignorant, is it the FBI's domain to is it just the FBI that's supposed to look into these things, or does the CIA look into, you know, election?
I don't have an answer for that. I would imagine it's the FBI. I mean, I know it is the FBI's domain. Where the CIA would come in, I don't know. I don't know if it's part of their MO or not.
But with the contentious relationship already between the president and the FBI, that's like saying, you know, would you pass this along to your hated adversaries if this happened? And he heard the words FBI, and he's like, no, I wouldn't pass anything along to the FBI.
But I think you're right, that was put into the mix, but I think it should have just, would you turn that information over to authorities? Okay, let's ask it that way, not the FBI. And still, what President Trump said is what I think the majority, I'm not going to say all, the majority of politicians from whatever party, whatever political persuasion, they would have the same reaction, because they think that is why they're running. That is why they're doing it. Number one, ego. Number two, and part of that is the ego to think they can fix it better than anybody else, right? I mean, when you run for any office, I'm talking about municipal, county, state, you think, I'm sure there's some people that are like, hey, I'm just going to get in this thing to be a crook since day one. But that, y'all, I know everybody thinks that's what all politicians are. It's not. Now, some of them end up that way, but I've been around enough of these people. They feel like they've got a vision that can fix it more than anybody else who wants that job. They can fix it. So if you believe that, then by default, the best thing to do for the country is to get the information about your opponent and win the election.
Chris from Orange Beach texts in, difference is Trump tells the truth, the rest would lie to our face.
There's a lot of truth in that, Chris. All right, coming right back. Rob Hulbert joins us, and we'll talk to you, too, on the text line and the phone line, 343-0106.
All you. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Mitch McConnell from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Mitch.
Dalton, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. Now, yesterday I was able to ride through the lot in McConnell Automotive, and I saw a lot of big, bad trucks. Let's talk about those trucks that are on the lot.
That wasn't you who scratched that truck, was it, Dalton?
No, that wasn't me.
I'm teasing you, buddy. we have some big, bad boy trucks, don't we?
Yeah, some really good ones. I know that AT4 is really hot right now.
It is, man, and I tell you, if somebody's ever looked at a Ford Raptor or owns one and maybe looking at even buying one, that'd be a great truck to compare it to, because we've even got a special lifted version from Southern Comfort. But what I want everybody to understand is that GMC has never made a truck like this, Dalton, and never have, and it comes from the manufacturer. It's lifted from the manufacturer. It's got the bad boy tow hooks, the red tow hooks on the front, the six-function tailgate that nobody else has, and then nobody but GMC. And I think just, you know, it's got a lot of class, but it's mean looking. And it's at a price that really shocks people. And right now, Dalton, if people will hurry up, the rest of this month, we have got a special deal on those AT4s, and discounts are getting up to $9,500, and that's off a 19 truck. And man, I think the way they drive, the way they look, and I think your testosterone levels go up exponentially with no medicine if you drive a GMC AT4, is what I heard. So, people, I want people to check them out. You know, and our website's a great place to do it, which is McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right. Thank you, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. Take care, buddy.
That's Mitch McConnell. You'll find McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. It is a Thursday. That means we check in with our buddy Rob Holbert from Lanyap. Hey, man.
How are y'all doing this morning?
Doing good. I tell you what, I want to do this, actually, as we talk to Rob. Although Rob will probably want to win one of these, but he can't. Mm-hmm. So while we're talking to Rob, looking for caller number, let's do four.
Hold on a minute. I got to.
Yeah, hold on. Put you on hold. At 343-0106, because I got a pair of tickets for you to fish this weekend in the 17th annual Mystic Stripers Society Fish and Rodeo. That's headquartered out of Dolphin Island Marina. They get fishing at 6, go till 5. The party, I've been to it more than once, is pretty fantastic as well. And this is $25 each. You can get more information at Mystic Stripers Rodeo online and on Facebook. But right now, if you're caller number 4 at 343-0106, got a pair of tickets. So maybe take Dad fishing for the weekend or take yourself and a friend. That's happening on Saturday. All right, Rob, let's talk about a couple things in the new Lanyap. First of all, I want to dig in on this story from Dale Leash, talking about Mobile County Circuit Court Presiding Judge Charles Graddick. It says he's serving as a city judge despite no council appointment. Explain this to us.
Well, this, you know, another brewing fight here that's pretty interesting. The former Mobile County Circuit Court Judge, Charlie Graddick, he had to retire because of age. He aged out of his position, and a couple years ago he was hired by the city and basically to run the show over there, but not as a judge. But now he's hearing the gun docket on Wednesdays and about half the regular docket as well.
So, I'm reading through Dale's story that he was going to be I may not get the term right, like an advisor to Mayor Stimson or something to that effect. He wasn't hired as a judge, but like a member of the staff.
He's director of the municipal court.
So what is that position?
It's $100,000 a year position.
I'm not familiar with that position. I mean, what
it is the person who basically organizes the court system, I guess would be the easiest way to put it.
Okay.
And so he, it's a $100,000 a year position. He was brought in to do that, but he's hearing cases as a judge, and there's a lot of we're catching a lot of people coming from the judicial community saying this isn't right, can't do it. Some some city councilors are saying, look, you know, the law says we appoint the judges. You know, once again, getting back into what do we do, mm-hmm. what does the mayor do, the mayor's office says no, he can appoint a special judge. But when you look through the laws, the law says that while the mayor can appoint special judges, they can't be employed in other positions within the city.
Okay, because so that's what I was wondering. Of course, you know, the cheap, fiscally conservative Sean Sullivan would say, hey, man, if we're paying them to look over the courts and he could do a little time in the courtroom, we're getting more for our dollar.
Yeah, but the law says that, I mean, there is a law that says that you can't, you know, there is a whole law dealing with the appointment of special judges. The law also does say, the law that I read said, you know, that the county, I mean, the city council, I don't know why I want to call them county commissioners, the city councilmen, our counselors appoint the judges. They appoint city judges. Special judges can be appointed by the mayor, but according to the law, they can only serve for, I can't serve more than 60 days in a row or something like that, and also they can't hold another position in the city. So there's some real discrepancy, of course, you know, never one to ratchet the commentary up. Fred Richardson called the action illegal and inappropriate. So, you know, I don't know if it's that, but but there is definitely an issue here that is going to be brought up. I think it's going to be coming up, but, you know, it'll be front and center more.
You think
it'll go along?
They'll bring it up at the coming up city council meeting, or how?
I would imagine you're going to hear about it coming up. Yeah, I think you're going to hear more about it. They're sort of waiting right now to get some information. I think the council's waiting to hear what the mayor's office has to say about it, but it looks hinky, and it's not what he was hired to do. Let me just say, the person who was in his position previously did not do that.
Now, okay, so this would, do you think it might even move the shutting down of the Touch of Class strip club off the top of the docket for the city council?
I don't know about that. That's a front and center type of thing, you know?
I'm just making sure. I mean, we get our priorities straight here.
Well, you know, we need to get too crazy around here.
I want to remind folks, too, we've talked about it in the past with Rob, and I've talked about it several times on the show. So 8 officers made 3 trips. So
that's right.
The 24 interactions to make that case against a strip club.
Months-long investigation.
You need to know what you're looking at. You need to be able to identify things in court.
A couple other things I want to get to here. So, I mean, let me land the plane on this one. So you think the next time this comes up is at a council meeting, and then what? Does it go to the attorneys, or what happens here?
There are a number of different things. I mean, some attorneys are saying there's potential for negating rulings, things like that. I mean, you know, there's always the doom and gloom scenarios. I don't know, you know. As so much is right now, a lot of it is interpretation. You ask one person, they say, no, this is perfectly legal. You ask somebody else, they say, that's the most illegal thing possible. So, you know, it gets back into, we still, you know, it funnels back into the whole thing of, you know, who's doing what and what is okay to do. And we still don't have a lot of definitive answers.
No, come on. They've been with a mediator. We got to have answers now.
You would think by now that, you know, none of this has come up in front of the mediator, I guess. But it's certainly an issue when you get into whether somebody is sitting, it was a valid, sitting as judge, a valid judge. If they're not, that creates a whole issue whether, you know, the case being ruled on is properly ruled on, whether what the ruling is, you know, if it's going to stand or not. And I think that, I mean, it is city court. These aren't murders and mayhem, so people can calm down out there. It's not quite as bad as that, but it still is important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another story I want to get more info on here that you'll have up, Jason Johnson's story about the Mobile Police Department investigating multiple wrecker services accused of overcharging. Is that the province of city government? Do they set that, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it is, because they do, you know, the city allows them to a degree to be used in certain capacities. I mean, you think about it, the wrecker services are, you call a wrecker, a lot of times the city calls wreckers on people, and, you know, they need wreckers to come and get cars that are parked illegally, and some of those prices that are set, the city does look at those things. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly one of those deals, I think, where if there's any collusion at all, that could be a problem. I know nobody likes that word, but
All right. If we come back, can you hold on through the news break?
Sure.
All right. Coming right back with Rob Hulbert, because I want to talk about his Damn the Torpedoes column and something we've talked about this week on the show. The Culver House of return of donation and the timeline and what national media did versus what the real story was and how this looks for us here in the state of Alabama. Also, we got some winter to congratulate.
Yeah, congrats to James in 8 Mile. He'll be fishing in the 17th annual Mystic Striper Society Fishing Rodeo this Saturday at the Dolphin Island Marina. So congratulations, James in 8 Mile.
All right, more chances for those tickets coming up as we return right here on Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. And by the way, coming up, I just mentioned it a second ago, on the midday show today, back-to-back Senate hopefuls for 2020. Hour number one, we're live at Gulf Coast Tools and Foley's today with the show, but Tommy Tuberville will join us in the first hour of the show, and AL1's Congressman, candidate for Senate, Bradley Byrne, joins us in hour number two. So at least two of the names out there that have officially announced they're running for Senate 2020 will be on the show with us today. So that is noon to two today on Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Rob Hulbert with Lanyap. And by the way, Lanyap out on streets now. Where can we find it?
Sean, you can find it at 1,500 different locations on Mobile, Baldwin County. Of course, we have Baldwin Edition with a broken up pier on it this week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's got a beat up looking pier on it. And then we've got the Mobile Edition with a picture of a guy who is in jail being held by a picture of guys holding a picture of a guy, because the guy in jail, we can't get a picture of him, but he has started a program called Incarcerated Angels, basically people behind bars working to get money to charities. And this guy's it's a pretty cool program.
Yeah, but just looking at the covers, one is a PO that may need a little work here before I can go out and go out to the Crab and Wolf and enjoy myself. And the other one's people in jail for Mobile County. I just want to... Okay.
Yeah. Well, he's not in jail in Mobile County. You know, he's somewhere else.
But it's the Mobile County cover.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, okay. Just writing that down.
Look, you can get tetanus in the other one, okay?
Hey, what about your column, Damn the Torpedoes, this week? You're talking about this Culver House debacle.
It's a silly thing, and I'm certainly not the first one to point out the fact that, I try to defend my friends in the media when I think they deserve it, and when they don't, I'm not going to defend them. And I think this is one of those situations where we all know the Culver House. He was a guy that Alabama gave him his donation back, which he asked for back, and he came out and said, they told me they want me to take my donation back because I came out and said, to boycott the University of Alabama because of the abortion law. And we found out after the fact that really there was a whole bunch of other stuff going on. It had nothing to do with this.
Yeah, that was not true.
That he piggybacked on that to sort of gain some notoriety, I guess, and just to cause more trouble.
Yeah,
and the people in the media were just ready to lap it up.
And they lapped it up, and then they didn't hear. And the point is, I've still probably they're lapping it up because it fits a narrative. Like, oh well, sure. it's Alabama, it's those people, and here's a good guy down in Florida. Second part is when they find out definitively through the emails released by the University of Alabama system that is not the case. That they don't, with the same fervor, present the fact that this guy is pulling the wool over your eyes.
Yeah, I think that's always the problem, and it's often when you have the best of intentions, if you get it wrong, it's really tough to put it back right because people don't pay attention. I've had dyed-in-the-wool Alabama fans who still believe that that's why they gave the money back. The guy, somebody said to me yesterday, oh, you mean that guy that they gave his money back because he was against the abortion law?
Yeah, they still don't, because they haven't seen the follow-up.
Actually, he just said that, it's
right.
Really because he wanted to go to class and fire teachers and did all sorts of crazy stuff.
Right, know? But that part doesn't get the traction of the easy narrative that is inaccurate.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and it's stereotypes, and you know, often as you know, as part of the flyover part of the country, we get that stereotype, and you know, we do a lot to ourselves to make that easy. You know, and so it's. I'm not blaming us. I'm not, you know, victim blaming in this case, but it is, you know, it's one of those things people want to believe, and it fits the narrative that people want to believe about Alabama. Oh well, yeah, the University of Alabama, because you know, universities are known for being run by such major league conservatives. First of all, you know, they are so conservative that they would give a guy back $26 million because he's complaining about the abortion law.
Wrong.
I think the one thing that it does show is, I mean, how deferential they were to try to keep this guy's money, to the point it was like, okay, finally, we just can't take any more of this guy. You know, I think what he was doing was conducting an experiment: how much abuse will people take for $26 million?
Well, he found out,
and they found out. Yeah, I think he was just surprised that there was that was their limit. You know.
Of course, Alabama is the punching bag of the national media. I'm not sure I saw Washington Post or anybody else, you know, recuse any of those articles and go back on it. But even if they did, the first clicks, you'll never get the same clicks on the second article as you do the first article. But I am hearing that they're renaming the My Little Pony Athletic Fieldhouse at Alabama.
I think the whole thing is just, it's a sad a reminder for people in the field of journalism to just stop for a second and think about, and that's what I was writing in my column, is like, just think about the logic of it. Okay, number one, I know that you think the University of Alabama must be conservative because it's in Alabama, but it is a university. Let's first of all say that would be unusual.
Yeah.
Number two, people giving back one of the largest private donations they've ever had, or the largest Alabama's ever had, right, I think. Giving a huge donation like that back, very unusual, right? I mean, that's strange. And, you know, this guy would just encourage a boycott against one university when he's mad about the whole law. It makes no sense. When you really sit down and start adding it up, it just doesn't make sense.
There it is. Rob Holbert with Land Yap. Remind folks, too, about picking up the copy at online as well. I mean, talk about the locations and then, but
check
you can go
it
on
out
that web.
Online at landyapmobile.com. And I know you're going to hit that nasty paywall, folks, but it's 21 cents a day. And what it does is helps us do what we do, and it helps this area have a newspaper. And so, you know, we really appreciate the folks who sign up and become subscribers. And it's $1.50 a week. It's it ain't even half a Diet Coke for you.
There you go.
So,
and Rob, too, when's the nappy issue?
The nappy issue is the 24th of July, so we're all going to have to hang around
June.
And wait.
June or July? June.
July. Right? July.
Oh, yeah, that comes out. That's right. That's right.
We got a little while. So, you know, we got to cool our jets a little bit.
All right. There he is, y'all. Rob Holbert with Land Yap. Big thank you to him. And we're out of here. Next time we'll talk, I'll be in Foley at Gulf Coast Tools. So come out and see me, South Baldwin. Mike Gallagher Show is next.